This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jim Robbins, senior editorial writer at The Washington Times. In his latest editorial, Jim has given President Obama a national security slash foreign policy grade for his first year in office, and it's not a good one. He says the president's a failure with barely one exception. And Jim, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
Well, let's, I guess, start with the positive, because there was only one, and that's his embracing of the use of drones to quite great effect over in the Afghan-Pakistan region.
Yeah, that's been a pretty successful policy. The expanded drone operation started in August of 2008 under President Bush, and they've been continued and expanded under President Obama to great effect. Many top al-Qaeda and other terror targets have been taken out. They've been done with relatively little collateral damage, despite Taliban reports of the contrary. And I'd say he gets a very good mark for that, for embracing that policy instead of getting rid of it, as many of his supporters wanted.
And as you point out in the piece, there are many specific decisions you don't think were very good in 2009, but perhaps being an umbrella over all of that is a general attitude that you think he brought into the job. One, a little bit of naivete, and another, a little bit perhaps of arrogance. Explain.
Yeah, I think that when the Obama team came in, they figured that because he was not President Bush, for example, who was someone that they thought was universally despised, because he was the historic first African-American president, and because he's personally a very charismatic person, that these types of things would hold him in good stead in dealing with other countries in the world. And I think initially, amongst many people, if not decision makers, but just people in the world, there was a great deal of hope. However, international relations are really determined by national interests, which are kind of immune to these types of factors. They're the ongoing, time-tested interests of various countries. So whereas at first there was kind of this sort of burst of enthusiasm and goodwill, that quickly was subsumed to the harder realities, realpolitik, if you will, of the international community. And when the old cleavages came out, these other factors kind of went away.
What are some specific examples of that?
Well, for example, one was when the Obama team wanted to have a regional dialogue between Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India to kind of solve all their problems, thinking that all they had to do was sit down and, you know, get together around a table and hash it out. They raised the issue of Kashmir, for example, which is in dispute between Pakistan and India. And the Indians shut that down immediately. They said, mind your own business, we're going to talk about that, and basically left the process. So there was one example of reality crashing down on them very quickly.
And then in terms of specific policies, I know one that you talked about in your piece was his decision, and it was certainly a controversial one even at the time, to not follow through on the Bush administration plan to construct a missile shield in Eastern Europe with a specific aim of deterring Iranian nuclear ambitions.
Oh, yeah, that not only pleased Moscow. I mean, the Russians loved that because it looked like the United States was backing down in the face of Russian threats. So whether or not that was the case, it looked like that, and appearance is very important in these matters. But it was also a delight to the Iranians, who it appeared as though the United States was not willing to try to put up a missile defense system against their continuing missile developments. And then the administration had to say, well, we're going to deploy some type of system. It'll probably be sea-based, which is really just a way of saying that we happen to have ships in the ocean anyway, and if an Iranian missile happens to be launched, maybe we could shoot at it that way. But the whole thing was handled in a very haphazard way, and it left an impression of weakness and of lack of confidence in American anti-missile technology.
We're talking with Jim Robbins, who is a senior editorial writer at The Washington Times. He also served as a special assistant to former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. And the big issues that the president was dealing with in 2009, let's talk about each of them briefly. Number one, the situation in Afghanistan. You say there were good parts to his plan, but it was ultimately rather confusing because he was talking about pulling out, even as he was talking about adding troops, and the pullout wasn't really a pullout. Has that been better clarified over the past month, or is it still just as confusing?
I don't think it's been better clarified. There's some question now over exactly what he was talking about when he mentioned that pullout date. the Afghans understood it to mean that American troops would leave. Then we said, no, it doesn't mean that. It means if conditions are right, we might leave. But that's always implicit in our strategy anyway. I mean, if the threat goes away, then the troops will leave. So what is the point of putting a deadline on it? That just led to a lot more confusion. And again, it gave an indication that America is weak, not committed to the fight, and things of that nature. I think the president was trying to have it both ways, saying he was going to increase troops, but setting the date in order to tell his more anti-war supporters that he's not fully committed to, you know, a warlike policy, but he can't have it both ways.
I think it was another opinion writer that I read, but I think you have touched on this over the past year as well, that perhaps one of President Obama's problems is that he'll be in a room full of people with very different opinions, and he'll try to leave with everyone thinking he's on their side. How accurate is that, and how much of a problem is that?
It sounds pretty accurate to me. I think he wants to make everybody happy, but the problem is that when you're dealing with these complex issues, you can't come up with a situation in which everybody's going to be happy. Some people have to lose. So if he would make hard decisions and then stick to them, it would be better than trying to muddle through all the time.
And the last issue, of course, is one that you and I have talked about a lot, and that's the Iranian nuclear threat. We mentioned it before with the missile shield decision. The president talked a lot in the campaign about improving diplomacy and dialogue with the Iranians. How much progress, if any, was made in 2009?
Practically none. He said that he would reach out his hand if they would unclench the fist. They have shown no predisposition to unclench their fist. Iran is pushing ahead on their nuclear program. They're pushing ahead on their missile program. And anybody who turns up in the streets to protest the regime is met with beatings and thugs. I say that the president did better in the latest round of responses to the Iranians when they were beating demonstrators. At least he came out quickly and denounced this, which he didn't do in the summer when he was still trying to court them. So there's some signs that maybe the president's going to take a harder line on Iran, but we really have to wait and see on that.
Well, as we learned on Christmas, Jim, most likely plenty of national security and foreign policy challenges to come in the new year as well. We look forward to talking to you about many of those in the months ahead.
Thanks, Greg.
Jim Robbins is the senior editorial writer for The Washington Times. He is also a former special assistant to former Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.